Listen, I'm excited to get the opportunity to share with you tonight. I always love it when Pastor Annie and Pastor Darla entrust me and give me this opportunity. And so we're going to wrap up the final week in our series talking about the tangled web that we weave. And I want to talk tonight about the tangled web of fear. And it's one of those, to me, that we almost don't worry too much about fear. Like, we don't understand the amount of control that fear has over us and how much it does tangle us up in life and how much Jesus wants us to be free from fear in our life. That as Christians, we should not be controlled by fear, but we should be controlled by our faith in Jesus. And that's the challenge for each one of us. And I can remember for me growing up, one of those moments where fear really had tried to have control over me. I grew up in a neighborhood that was probably a little bit rough. And so I'm just going to preface this right now. If you brought your kids in here, I'm not necessarily condoning violence. I'm just telling you a story of what happened to me. So kids, do not go home and take this literal when you get home and say, Pastor Jason did it. Okay. So I grew up in a neighborhood, and I had a couple of brothers that lived just down the street from me, and they were just, they were bullies, and they were great at running their mouth and flapping their lips and just being incredibly mean. And I was out one day on my bike, and they were doing what they do best at just saying things that were terribly mean, but I was by myself, and there was two of them. And so there was a couple of things, like one, mama didn't raise no fool, like two against one's not great odds. But the other was just the fact, like, to be honest, like, I was just scared. They were intimidating by what they were saying, by what they were doing, and the way they were treating me, and the reputation that they carried. And so I was just going to go right on by on my bike and just ignore them and keep going on because I was scared. But as I drove by and got going along, the older, bigger brother, he picked up a rock and he threw it at me and he hit me in the back of the head. Yeah, it was on like Donkey Kong after that. Like, there was just something inside of me. There was a switch that flipped in my head, and I think it went a little bit like this. Like, at least in my mind, I think that's the way it went. Like, I'm not for sure, but we're just going to, for now, that's the way I remember it. But I decided in that moment, like, I'd had enough. It didn't matter how afraid I was at that moment, that I decided that I was done and I was not going to back down. And so I turned that bike around and I rode right up to those two brothers. And I remember just throwing my bike down on the ground. I balled up my right fist. And the next thing I know, I threw one cross right to that big brother's jaw and knocked him straight to the ground. And I remember him looking up at me. I know, right? A bully needs a little dose every now and then, right? And so he looked up at me, tears in his eyes, hold his face, his little brother standing there. The next thing I know, they took off running. And I was just like, I guess it's over with. Like, I don't know. But I learned something in that moment. In fact, I learned a couple of things. That sometimes you have to stand up to the thing you're afraid of in order to do something about it. And then what I come to realize is the very thing that I feared ended up being afraid of me because I was willing to stand up to it. And man, there's a lesson there for us, that there are going to be moments in life that we're going to experience some challenges where the enemy is going to throw some things at us, and we're going to have to be willing to say, I won't back down, to borrow a line from Tom Petty. And I'm going to stand my ground. But if we allow fear to control us, if we allow fear to dictate our action, we'll never do that. We'll always run and hide. Let's do a little bit of a poll in here tonight. Let's see what some of you are afraid of. If some of you are really able to be honest men, I promise if you raise your hand, you'll keep your man card, all right? Nobody's going to take it from you, all right? Let's do this. How many of you guys are afraid of spiders? Okay, like a few hands. There's actually a couple men. Thank you. I still think there's a few men that are not raising their hands, but I promise you, in bed tonight, if one crawled across his leg, you would not know whether that was him screaming or his wife. Like, I promise you, somebody would scream if that happened. How many of you guys are afraid of snakes? Yeah, it's like overwhelming majority, man. The only good one's a dead one. Like, I mean, I can't do that. Like, ugh. All right. How many of you guys are afraid of public speaking? Yeah. Right, just makes you listen. Trust me, I got over that fear a while ago, but it took me a little while for sure. How many of you guys are afraid of heights? Like, I can watch somebody climbing something on TV and my hands start sweating for them, and I'm not even there. I mean, it's like, it's crazy to me. I don't get it. But I think the reality is there are some other things in our life that we're really afraid of too, that have an impact on us. If we could be really honest in some of the ways that we address some of these things. How many of you are afraid of failure? Like, I'm afraid of failing. Isn't that, like, this is kind of liberating, right? See how many other people around you have their hand up saying, I'm afraid of failure. How many of you would be willing to be brave enough and to admit, like, you're actually afraid of what people might think of you? People's opinions almost cause fear inside of you because you want them to think and feel a certain way about you. And we live in a world, in a time, in an age, because of social media, like, somehow we've thought that just because somebody has an opinion, it's an actual truth. I mean, listen, it's just your opinion. That's all it is. But we allow that opinion to stir up fear inside of us. And because of the fear that's inside of us, it begins to change the way we look at ourselves or the way we perceive other people based off somebody's opinion. Like it's crazy. And so tonight, I want to take a look at the story of Daniel. We're going to get into Daniel chapter 6. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can, or if you have a Bible on your phone, you can click on that. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, but the story of Daniel to me is an incredible story. And there's so many moments in Daniel that you see where they did amazing things in spite of the potential fear that they could have had in those moments. And one thing I learned from Daniel is this, and if you and I could grab a hold of this tonight, we would totally change everything in our life. And it's this: I can always trust the Lord. Always. I can always. Every situation, every scary moment, as well as every good moment. When I get that doctor's report from the Lord, I can always trust the Lord. When my bank account says zero, I can always trust the Lord. When it feels like the world is falling apart around me and I can't do anything right and I keep failing, I can always trust the Lord. And there's a powerful truth there for us, because I think most of us would say we can trust the Lord, but we struggle to think about trusting Him in every situation. And it's in those moments that become difficult that fear creeps in and begins to tangle up who we are and change the way that we think. You know, one of the ways that psychologists and counselors actually deal with fear is this thing called exposure. And it's literally what it sounds like, that if we will be exposed to the thing we're afraid of over and over and over again and learn how to deal with those feelings that we feel, eventually that fear won't have as much control over you. But in order to be exposed to it, you're going to have to learn that I'm going to have to deal with some things that I'm uncomfortable with in order to get there. And to me, that's the beautiful thing about God that I love. As I read through Scripture, so many times when we go through something hard, we just pray, God, take me out of this. But as I read Scripture, God very rarely takes His people out of something. But He almost always takes His people through something. Because it's in being exposed to the thing that you and I are afraid of, God can begin to reveal to us who he is. And we get exposed to God's goodness at the same time that we get exposed to something really challenging. And then we begin to realize that I've got nothing to be afraid of because my God is bigger than this thing that I'm afraid of. It's in being exposed in those moments to things that we may not like, we also get exposed to the power of our God. And Daniel was one of those guys that got exposed to a lot of things in his life. If you go back and study the life and history of Daniel, at Daniel chapter 6, he's almost 80 years old at this point. Like, he's lived an incredible life. But those 80 years, he's been exposed to some really challenging things. As a teenager, Daniel's country was invaded and he had to live through war. He had to watch people around him die. People that he loved and that he cared for were tortured, beaten, and killed in his lifetime. As a teenager, imagine that experience. And he was carried out of this land into a foreign land to spend the rest of his life. And in this land, they tried to convince him to walk away from his God, and they tried to convince him to serve their gods. And in the process of being there, if he didn't convert and find a way to navigate this, this wasn't going to just be an uncomfortable situation for Daniel. It was going to cost him his life. And in fact, it was so intense that even at one moment that we know about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there were three people that Daniel was very close to because they would not bow and compromise in their life. They were thrown into a fiery furnace, and Daniel had to be exposed to some really difficult things. And so when we read the book of Daniel, we're reading the book about somebody who learned what it was like to be exposed to some challenging things in their life, but not give in to the fear in those moments, but instead to trust God in that moment. And so here in Daniel 6, where we pick up the story, Daniel is being promoted to the second highest position in the entire kingdom. He has found favor with the king. This king loves Daniel. He's all about him. And so he goes from a slave from another country to the second most highest position in the entire kingdom. And the problem is, when he gets up there, there are people that don't like it, and they don't like him. Which ought to be an incredibly encouragement to us, because the higher you go and the more you accomplish for God, the bigger the target is on your back. And so sometimes we have to be okay with whatever people may say and how they may attack us, because God's going to continue to take us up and use us in spite of what the people around us may say. And so you got to be okay with the target on your back in those moments. And if you're not, you're never going to do anything good for God. Sorry, that was for free. I didn't even give that one yesterday. Y'all can keep that. So there you go. So we get to Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, and it says this. For the people that did not want Daniel there, it says, then the other administrators and the high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they could not find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful. He was always responsible and completely trustworthy. Like, if I die and they say those three things at my funeral, I'll feel like I lived a good life. And so they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Listen, Daniel had impeccable character, okay? He paid all his taxes on time, every time, down to the very penny. Like, when he rode his camel through town, he rode at 1 mile an hour under the speed limit just because he didn't want to get a ticket. Like, he helped ladies across the road. He bought Girl Scout cookies from Girl Scouts. Like, I don't even know what you girls put in them Girl Scout cookies, but I'm telling you, every time, I think there's got to be something addictive in there, because I cannot pass up that box of Thin Mints every time they sell those things. Like, it's just incredible. But this was Daniel. You couldn't find anything wrong with him. And so what does the enemy do? He attacks the very thing that got Daniel to where he was. And he does the same thing in our life. Because there's those moments where we're living the way we wanted to live, doing the things that we wanted to do, and we knew that it was not what God wanted, and we gave our life to Jesus, and we got things right, and God began to change us and take our life in a different direction. And once that happens, what does the enemy do? He begins to attack that relationship with God that you have, because he knows he can't get you unless he can destroy the very thing that's gotten you where you're at. So when you give your life to Jesus and things get hard, it's a good sign because that means God's got you going in a direction that he wants you to be when the enemy's coming after you trying to destroy that. And it's in those moments, to me, that we get this, that fear places itself in direct competition with God's word. Because it was in this moment that they didn't like what Daniel was doing, and so they decided they were going to pass a law in this moment. That if Daniel or anybody in the entire kingdom would pray to somebody other than King Darius, that they would be thrown into the lion's den and face immediate death. And so it was in this moment that Daniel had to make a decision between what God was asking him to do and what the world was asking him to do. And it's in this moment that we begin to realize that this story is not all that different, because there was a governmental organization that was trying to pass laws that was going to create conflict inside of God's people, whether they were going to be loyal to the government or loyal to their God. Boy, it sure sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? That there is an enemy with the same plan. Maybe it's coded a little bit different, but it's the same thing, because there's an enemy that wants to do all he can to destroy God's people. And one of the ways that he'll do it is he will use the powers at be to put you and I at a crossroads where you're going to have to make a decision whether I'm going to follow the word of God or I'm going to follow what everybody else is doing. Because it puts ourselves in direct conflict with the two. Fear is always going to compete against the word of God in your life. Because the word teaches us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so every moment that we allow fear to get a hold of us and tangle us up is every moment that we're allowing it to let us live in contradiction to the way God wants us to live. But what do you do in that moment? If you're Daniel, what do you do in that moment? When fear grips, when things are not going the way you wanted them to or the way you thought they would go, how do you respond? I mean, if you're Daniel, you can decide, I'm going to run and hide. Like, this country's not safe anymore. I should go find a much safer place to live. So I'm going to pack my bags and run. Like, I don't understand that. I don't know where in our mind we decided the goal of life was to arrive safely at death. Like, we're all going to die. We're all going to get there. I would rather spend my life living for something that's worth dying for than simply arrive safely at death. Or Daniel could just compromise, because look, he has put in his time. He's paid his dues. He's had a hard life, and he's gotten to a very influential place, a very comfortable place. And so maybe if he would just compromise this one time and stay where he was, that God could still use him somewhere down the road. And we begin to justify compromise in this moment because we're afraid of what may happen. Fear causes us to do all kinds of crazy things. Fear may cause us to simply be apathetic and throw up our hands and say, look, if this is what it's going to get me to try to follow God, then I'm done trying because it's not going right. I just quit, so I'm going to do nothing. What good is it? But what do we do in those moments where fear begins to control us? How do we respond in this instant? And Daniel goes on in Daniel 6, verse 10. And he says this, he said, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. Notice those words, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With the windows open toward heaven, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Well, it seems kind of crazy to give thanks to God in this moment when he knows that he could get killed for it. And then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. See, Daniel had this moment where he said, look, I'm done giving into fear. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to back down. You can throw whatever you want to throw at me, but this is where I'm drawing the line in the sand and I'm making a stand right here. And sometimes in order to fight fear, you do that. By standing your ground, by getting on your knees on holy ground. Get on your knees in prayer is one of the greatest tools, one of the greatest weapons that you and I have in the battle against fear in our life. And yet it's the one that we resolve to only use when life gets bad. Did you notice Daniel didn't run to God when things got bad? He said he did it as usual. That there was this pattern of prayer in Daniel's life so that when life did get hard, he was already close to God and he was ready to trust God because he knew, I can always trust the Lord. Because this pattern of prayer. See, so many times we only go to God when life's falling apart. God, fix this. But if we could develop a pattern of prayer in our life every day, when those moments come in like a flood, we wouldn't be scared because we would be standing on solid ground because we would have that relationship with Christ and we would be so close to him that we would remember that I can always trust the Lord. I can always trust the Lord, but that trust is built by spending time investing in my relationship with God. And I invest in my relationship with God by taking some time to get on my knees and spend some time in prayer with him every day. You know, prayer is more than just right down here at these altars. Your holy ground may be at home on the carpet next to your bed. My holy ground for me is in my recliner every morning with my cup of coffee and my Bible before anybody else wakes up. That's my holy ground where I spend time praying with God. Your holy ground may be out in the morning or in the evening when you go for a walk and you spend some time praying with God. Your holy ground may be the car seat of your car or truck as you're driving down the road, but you need to find some holy ground to spend some time praying and having a conversation with God every day. And if you would do that, I promise you, I guarantee you can take this to the bank. You do that every day, fear won't have any more control over your life. Because the closer we get to God, the more we realize I've got nothing to be afraid of. The closer we get to God, the more we begin to realize I can always trust the Lord. And Daniel had seen it faithfully over and over again in his life that I can always trust the Lord, that he is always good. But in that moment, for me, what I would say is this: what do you turn to in the moment that you're afraid? Or who do you turn to in the moment that you're afraid? Because for Daniel, where did he go? He went to his holy ground and got on his knees and spent some time with God. He didn't run to his friends and ask a bunch of people, hey, what should I do right now? I'm kind of scared. This is really hard. Tell me what I should do. Give me some input. Not that that's a bad thing, but I'm telling you, when the voice of people speak louder than the voice of God, you got problems. Amen. Daniel didn't run to social media to air out all of his problems on Facebook. Let me just tell you now, social media is not the place to air out your dirty laundry. You can keep your dirty laundry to yourself and throw it in the wash machine. Nobody else cares about all your dirty laundry that you want to throw out there. And I'm going to give you a really great piece of advice. There's this thing on there that you can do to unfollow or block. You learn that button and your life will get so much better. Daniel didn't run somewhere to throw up all of his problems so he could have a pity party with everybody else that would comment on it and say, oh, how bad is your life? I'm so sorry. He didn't get on Instagram and make a post and put up a survey. Should I go or should I stay? Vote and help me know what to do. He ran to the Lord and got on his knees in prayer. And it was in that moment where he got down on his knees that he found all the strength he needed to face the situation that he was about to walk through. Listen, it's okay to surround yourself with godly people. But more than anything, you need God. And more than anything, you can get alone with God in prayer and you can spend some time in his word and God can speak to you just like he speaks to me. And he can give you the words you need in that moment to get through whatever you face. Because he can always be trusted. And he's proven himself faithful time and time again. It's up to you and I to know that. But it's in this moment that Daniel finds himself in trouble now because he prayed. He did what he wasn't supposed to. Those people went and watched. They saw what happened, and they told the king, and now the king has to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Except the problem is the king is torn up about this because he loved Daniel. a lot. I mean, they had a close relationship, and this was a hard thing for him. But the problem was, at that time, the way they made those laws, the king could not undo the law that he had signed into effect. And so that evening, he had to throw Daniel into the lion's den and roll that stone across. And the Bible says that he didn't sleep that night. He didn't go back to his normal entertainment. He had a hard time finding any peace. And the first thing in the morning, he got up and he ran to the tomb. And he hollered out to Daniel. I kind of wonder what that was like when he rolled the stone away. Was it like, "Hey, Daniel?" Or was it like a "Daniel?" Like you really weren't expecting a response. Like, I don't know what it was like. But put yourself in Daniel's shoes, because you just got on your knees and prayed, and yet you still end up thrown in the lion's den. And it'd be real easy in this moment to say, "Whoa, God, where you at? I thought you were going to get me out of this. And yet here I am in the middle of a lion's den. I'm in the middle of this thing, and you didn't get me out of this thing." But to me, man, what an incredible moment for us to realize that there's some moments where we should stand our ground and not back down, no matter what the cost is. Like, what an incredible testimony for Daniel. Like, think about that. If the lions were going to eat and kill him and he makes it to heaven, that's got to be like the coolest testimony of all time to tell everybody. "Hey, Daniel, how'd you get here?" "I was standing up for God and got ate by lions." "How'd you get here?" I fell asleep last night and I woke up here. "Oh, hey, Daniel, tell us your story again." I mean, like, come on. If you're going to get to tell a story forever, that's got to be like the coolest story to get to share about how I got there. But here's where we pick up Daniel chapter 6, verse 21. It says, "Daniel answered the king, 'Long live the king.'" And that had to about make him just fall right down in there with him at that point. I can't imagine. "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight." Notice what Daniel said. "I've been found innocent in his sight." See, Daniel was more interested in what God would think of him than he was about what anybody else in this world would think about him. And you and I, the moment we can get liberated from the fear of people's opinions about us and only live for the opinion of God, is the moment fear loses its power over us. Hallelujah. And Daniel was at this place where he said, "Look, I was innocent in his sight. And so I'm okay with whatever comes as long as I know I can stand before God and be innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty." And the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Not a scratch was found on him. Like, I wonder what that night was like for Daniel. Like, the way I envision it in my mind, I mean, I'm going to ask him when I get there too, because I want to hear this story. But, like, I think when the angel closed their mouth, like, I think Daniel just made, like, a pillow out of one of them lions. Like, he just laid up there, kind of like you do with your cat at night if you let that thing in bed with you. But I just think that's what he did. I mean, I got all night here. I'm just waiting for you to come. But here's the thing that we've got to catch in this story is this. Like, this wasn't a fluke deal. The lions just didn't have a tummy ache and didn't want to eat Daniel. Because right after they pulled Daniel out, the king was so frustrated with the men that had passed this law to throw Daniel in there that they got thrown into the lion's den instead of Daniel. And it says the lions ate them immediately. And the thing the enemy wanted to use to destroy Daniel became the thing that destroyed them. That is the lesson for each one of us, that there is no plan of the enemy that he could create that God can't flip around and turn it back on him. Because he can always be trusted. Amen. But in order to experience that kind of testimony, you got to be willing to go through the test. Amen. And you have to be prepared to lose everything in order to find something. And that's where fear gets us a lot of times, is we're not willing to push all the chips into the middle of the table and say, "I'm all in. I'll kind of go in a little bit, God, but I don't know if I can always trust you. So I'm going to keep a few chips back for myself. I'm going to push a few in the middle of the table." But Daniel has this moment where he's just like, "Man, I am all in. I'm all in, and I don't care if it costs me my life. I don't care what happens to me in this moment, God. I am all in with you. I'm willing to give you everything if it means my life. And listen to me. If that happens, all that death is going to end up be is a golden ticket punch straight into heaven for Daniel. What did he have to lose? He had everything to gain in that moment by going all in with God. Listen, I know this. Every moment I've gone all in with God, I've never given up more than he's given back to me. But you only experience that when you're willing to give it all up for him. God honors big faith every time. But you and I have to be willing to give it our all and to go after him with everything that we've got. And for some of you tonight, man, fear has gripped your life. Your marriage is falling apart, and you are so afraid to even admit it and ask for help. And so you sit there in this broken marriage knowing that it's not going to get fixed because you're scared to do anything about it, because you're afraid of what somebody might say. Listen, let me tell you tonight, take that fear, nail it to the cross, forget about what people are going to think about you, and give that thing to Jesus and let him come in and fix it. Some of you are so afraid about the relational dynamics inside of your family that they're so broken that you don't want to actually go tell somebody that my family's jacked up and I might be the reason why. And so you let fear keep you in that broken family when God's waiting for you to take that fear, give it to him and nail it to the cross and then step up and seek him and give him a chance to fix it. Some of you, the bank account is sitting at zero and you're like, God, I'm broken. I don't know how this is going to happen, but you're too scared to admit it and ask for help. And God's saying, get on your knees, spend some time on some holy ground and come to me and let me fix it for you. Because he can always be trusted. Amen. But fear is going to keep you from the best that God has for you every time. That's why the enemy likes to use fear. That's why fear is an incredibly deceptive thing. And a deceptive thing that the enemy used from the very beginning of time, even with Adam and Eve, because Eve was afraid she was going to miss out on something, and the enemy knew that, and so he used that against her. I'm telling you, fear has more power over your life, and the enemy knows it, and that's why he plays it with you time and time again. And at some point, somebody's got to rise up, get a little Tom Petty in their soul, and say, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to stand my ground. You can throw everything in the kitchen sink at me. I'll go to the gates of hell if I have to, but I won't back down. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to draw a line right here. Fear is no longer going to control me. Fear is no longer going to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. Fear is no longer going to keep me from having the kind of marriage God wants me to have, from having the kind of family that God wants me to have, from having the kind of finances that he wants me to have, from having the kind of healing in my body that he wants me to have. Because he can always be trusted. There's this scripture in Hebrews 6:19. I love this scripture. It says this. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. That hope is Jesus. And some versions interpret that scripture this way. They say that that hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. Another version says that this anchor cannot slip or break down under any kind of pressure, no matter how great that pressure is. That anchor is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. You want to learn how to kick fear in the teeth. You grab a hold of the anchor of Jesus Christ. Let that hope fill your soul and you'll never fear anything again. Because it is an anchor for your soul. And I'm telling you, if you aren't anchored to something when things get rough, there's no telling where you're going to end up. But when I'm anchored to something that Scripture says is indestructible and immovable in any way, then there's nothing that the enemy can throw at you or I that's ever going to shake or move this anchor that we're connected to. And to me, like, this is my life verse. Like so much that I literally have it tattooed on an anchor on my arm. Yes, one of your pastors has a tattoo. And if that offends you, you can sure practice forgiveness afterwards, because I can promise you that if it's up to me, it won't be the last tattoo that I have either. But that's a whole nother scripture for a whole nother time. And we can have that conversation later if that really bothers you. I'd love to. No, I'll stop. I'll go down a rabbit trail. I'm done. Stop. But here's why it's my life verse. Because I've experienced it to be real in my life. I know it's real. Because I grew up in a home environment that was challenging at best. I don't blame my parents. They were 15 and 17 when they had me, so at least they were trying to figure something out there. Kudos to them for that. But because I walked through my parents getting a divorce, and out of that season, I learned that I can always trust the Lord. Because there were moments in my marriage where my bank account just wasn't at zero, like it was negative. Like, I don't even know how you do that, but I did it. We did it. And I didn't know how we were going to pay the bills and feed the kids and take care of everything that we had to take care of. But yet, every bill got paid, food ended up on the table, and everything got taken care of. And it was out of that season that I learned that I can always trust the Lord. That there was a season between the two amazing kids that I have now where my wife had two miscarriages and we lost two kids. And it was in that season and coming out of that season that God showed me that I can always trust the Lord, because he carried me through something that I couldn't make it through on my own. Because I had 3 years of medical issues in my life that were extremely frustrating, extremely difficult. In fact, I would say that in my almost 40 years here on earth, those 3 years were the darkest 3 years of my life. The most challenging 3 years of my life that I've faced so far. But now that I'm on the backside of those 3 years, and I've seen the hand of God at work, and I saw how he literally, physically healed me and did what doctors could not do, I have learned that I can always trust the Lord. That he is the anchor for my soul that nothing can move. And because of what I have been exposed to in the last 40 years of my life, I have also been exposed to the goodness and the power of my God. And I have a confidence and a hope now looking forward that I wouldn't have without having those experiences. And sometimes it's the most loving thing that God can do is let you and I walk through one of those moments and be exposed to some things that we're not comfortable with, so that he can get fear out of our life and build up faith in our life, so he can take you and I to a place that we never thought we could go in him. Listen, I'm here tonight to tell you fear has no control over your life. That God wants to set you free from anxiety, from all of the nervousness that you feel inside, from the moment that you feel sick almost from fear at times, that Jesus wants to come in tonight and set you free. And he can do that, I promise you, because I've experienced it in my life. I'm not just pointing you to a scripture that I think is true. I'm telling you a truth that I know is true because I've walked it out in my life. But I wouldn't have walked it out if I hadn't reached a place where I was willing to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I'm not going to back down. that I'm going to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to stand my ground right here. And if it costs me everything, then I'm willing to pay everything because Jesus is worth it all. Because I know that he can always be trusted. And I'm standing here by faith tonight for you. Maybe you're still not convinced. Then I pray somewhere inside of you that you'd be willing tonight just to let a little bit of faith rise up in spite of that fear, and let us believe for you that Jesus can always be trusted in the situation that you're in too. But some of that starts by realizing tonight that I got to get a foundation in God's word and not let fear drive a wedge between the truth of God and my life. Then I got to spend some time getting on my knees every day. Listen, don't like think I got to pray for 2 hours. Like, just start for 2 minutes. Dadgum, do something. Like, and just see what God does. And at some point, you got to be willing to just risk it all. Take a risk. Step out of the boat. He's waiting if you're just willing to do it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here tonight and man, you want this Jesus thing to be real and you want it to be true, but you're just scared. Whether you're here, whether you're at home watching from wherever you are, like church scares you. You're like, you're one of those people that say like lightning's gonna strike or the roof's gonna fall in if I show up. Like, guess what? Neither one have happened. You're still here. That maybe you're here tonight because God put me here in this very moment to share this message with you that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to set you free from all of your past sins and all of your past mistakes. And you don't have to come in here afraid of what anybody's gonna think because we're here for you because Jesus died for you. Because he loved you and we love you. And I don't care what your story is. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. I don't care what kind of baggage you're carrying. I don't care what kind of bad decisions you've made in this life. Jesus is bigger than any mistake that you've made. And don't let fear keep you from having the freedom of salvation that Jesus wants for your life tonight. So maybe you're here and you want to be brave enough to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus for the very first time. Or maybe you just know that you maybe made that commitment at one time, but you've just not been living for him the way that you should. And so tonight you want to make a new commitment to Jesus. But if that's you and you say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I want to push in all my chips and go all in with him. Would you raise your hand so that we could put a Bible in it and pray with you tonight? Is there anybody? Okay. Let's stand all across this place. We're going to get ready to open up these altars to give you a moment to spend some time on some holy ground in prayer with God. It's 8:11. We still got some time. It's not too late. But I would encourage you tonight. Maybe you're here and there's something going on in your life that is just bigger than you, that is beyond your ability to fix. It is beyond your ability to control. And maybe it's just causing fear inside of you. But you want to give that thing to God tonight. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so that we could pray with you here at the end of service together? I see hands going up everywhere. Everywhere. Like, we're not the only ones here. It's encouraging, right? Can we keep those hands up and just as a sign of faith to God all across this place? If you raise your hand, if you're watching online, let's just take that thing and give it to God and ask him to come and do what he can do. Amen. God, I pray for every hand that was raised here. I pray for every hand that was raised online, God. Wherever they're watching from, you are there, you are present, and you are willing and able to move in their life. And I pray for every hand that was raised, that would be an act of faith tonight, a declaration to say, I'm drawing a line and I'm not backing down anymore. I'm not giving in to fear. I'm not going to let fear win in this moment. I'm going to trust you in this moment to do what only you can do, Jesus. God, I pray for those that raise their hand that maybe they need a physical healing in their body, that the doctor's diagnosis is not good, but your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And so we stand praying for that healing, God. For those that need a financial miracle, God, I pray that you would move in the finances, God. For those that need a marriage or a family relationship or a friendship healed and restored, God, I pray that tonight would be the night that you would drive out fear and begin to restore those things. God, for those that are just seeking direction from you, who feel like you're pushing them, feel like you're nudging them, feel like you're trying to draw them in a direction, and they're just uncomfortable with what they may have to give up to go with where you're leading, I pray tonight you would give them peace and faith to take that step of faith tonight and go where you are leading and to push in all those chips and be willing to risk it all for you, God, and see you honor the faith that they take tonight. Jesus, we love you. We ask it all in your name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, the altars are open. We want to invite you to come down, take some time to pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, our prayer team will be down there, and one of them would be more than willing to pray with you as well. We love you guys, and we'll see you back here next week.